Amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, we just pray, Lord, this morning as we gather around your word, that you speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is entitled Time Alone with God, and 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through to 7. It says there, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." God, if we're going to be of use to God, God always prepares us for service before we go out and serve. And God has always trained men before he uses them. And here in the book of 1 Kings, we first get to hear of Elijah the prophet. And he's telling Ahab that a drought's going to come upon Israel. God's judgment is going to come because of this evil king Ahab. I think the Bible says he was one of the most evil kings. There'd been no other king as evil as Ahab, and he set up the temple of Baal, and God was going to come and bring judgment upon the prophets of Baal through Elijah, as we know, at Mount Carmel. But before that, we find here in 1 Kings 17 that God sends Elijah first to this obscure brook called Cherith, which was in the Jordanian wilderness, a place where he was going to be fed and watered during this time of drought. And what enabled and prepared Elijah for Mount Carmel and his ministry as a prophet of God? Well, here we find in this isolated brook, by himself, alone with God, we find some answer. It was here, perhaps, that he learned to depend upon God. Because, you know, God cannot use you and I until we're dependent on him. Until we learn to trust and rely upon God. We can't go, so to speak, to Mount Carmel in our lives until we've first been to the brook Cherith, where God proves himself to us and we can learn to rely on him. And this was probably one of the most important trips that Elijah made. And here we see at Cherith that God's plan for Elijah was to go there. And in verse 2 to 3 it says that then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." And the word here for hide is translated elsewhere in scripture as absent oneself. Elijah wasn't instructed to go to this brook just to hide so he wouldn't be found out, but to absent himself there, to get alone with God so that he could be ministered to, in order so that later he could minister. And this is God's plan for all of his children. We have to spend time alone with God if we're going to grow in relationship with him and be of any use in his kingdom. We can't minister to others if we're not being ministered to by God, can we? Devotion to God has to come before duty. And in fact, our duty and our labour in the Lord is of no value. In fact, it's in vain if we don't have the devotion first. And unless, it says in scripture, unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. So before any duty or work in the kingdom of God, we need to be in God's presence alone. God is more interested in the worker than the work. And, you know, Jesus, often we see in his ministry, he went alone to the mountain to pray, didn't he? To spend time alone with God in prayer, with his heavenly Father. If Jesus needed to spend time alone with God, how much more do we need to spend time alone with God if we're going to receive all that we need to serve him in our lives? We have to absent ourselves. We have to hide with God before we can go out to battle with the world, the flesh and the devil. God was specific here to Elijah. He was to go there, and it was there that he'd see God's provision for the coming drought. And Elijah obeyed the Lord. We have to go where God leads us. Obedience to God is where we find the blessing. It's where we find the provision. It's where we find the grace that we need day by day. Elijah went as God commanded, and God fed him by the ravens, and he enjoyed the cool, refreshing waters of the brook while the rest of the land was in drought. And the scripture records that he stayed there, and he was brought food in the morning and the evening by the ravens. He was alone in this cut-off place, which the word Cherith itself actually means cut-off. This is a place where Elijah learnt dependence upon God to provide. And this immediately preceded Elijah going to the widow's house. And if you remember that story, where God miraculously provided for both Elijah and the widow there. And perhaps his experience here in Cherith of God's provision built up and strengthened his faith for God's provision at the widow's house later on. You know, personal visitations of God's grace and provisions and answers to prayers give us confidence and faith for public provisions of God's grace and provisions and answers to his prayers, to prayers. You know, when we've been ministered to, we can then minister to others. But inevitably, there came a time when Elijah had to move on. The Bible records that the brook dried up. And of course, there was a drought upon Israel. But this brook had served God's purpose, hadn't it? Of preserving Elijah and teaching him to rely upon God and learn in dependence upon God. And in a way, you know, it's in the times of drought in our lives, in the times of difficulty, the times when life is hard, when life is a struggle, that's when God gives us more of his grace. That's when we learn to lean on him, as we sing some weeks, lean hard for all that we need. God has to bring us to a place where we have to rely on him, where we get to the end of ourselves, where he has to break us in order to make us, where we have to become weak in order to become strong, become dependent rather than self-reliant, to experience his provision in the droughts of our lives, so that we can know that God truly is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You know, we don't get to know God by learning theory from a book, do we? We get to know God by experiencing him in our lives, by seeing his grace actualized in our own experience. It's not something that you can learn in a textbook, but only in the hard places of life. Only in the time alone with God himself. Spending time alone with God has to be a priority for us if we're going to grow in the knowledge and grace of God. Too often, Christians get burnt out in ministry because they're just functioning on three cylinders instead of four. They're performing all the duty and all the labour, but they don't spend time seeking God out for themselves. They don't spend time at the Master's feet, alone in his presence, communing with God, drawing from the well of living water, and eating the bread of life. Jesus said, did he not, I am the vine and you are the branches, and that we can't bear fruit of ourselves, and that unless we abide in the vine, we're going to wither and die. To remain spiritually alive, we need to abide in the vine, don't we, to bear fruit. He said, without me, you can do nothing, you know. We'd all love to have those Mount Carmel experiences in the Christian life. But we're going to have to learn to rely on God first at Cherith. When the drought comes, let God feed us. Let God give us that cool water to sustain us as we learn to rely on him. Then we can grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and be of use in his kingdom. You know, there's many other examples in scripture of God training his servants first before he used them. Look at Moses. He spent 40 years in the desert as a shepherd in an isolated place before God sent him as a deliverer to Israel. He was used to being a prince of in Egypt. He had servants. He lived a life of luxury. But then he forsook all that. And he tried to be a deliverer of Israel in his own flesh by killing an Egyptian. And God had to take him out to a desert for 40 long years to prepare him to lead Israel out of Egypt and to spend the next 40 years in the desert with God's people. And during those first 40 hard years, God was preparing him both inside and outside, wasn't he? Preparing him for life in the desert, no doubt, but inside learning the patience and care of a shepherd. Moses probably thought at that time that his life was going nowhere. He was living as an exile from Egypt. He was afraid to return to Egypt because of the man that he'd killed. And he was stuck in this desert place herding sheep. And even though he probably felt like that, God was at work preparing him, wasn't he, for service. And God has to prepare us before he can actually use us. But we want it all now, don't we? And Psalm 144:1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Psalm 18:33-35 says, "He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." And 2 Samuel 22:35, "He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." There's a theme going on here, isn't there? God trains us for battle. He's our teacher. We too often rush into battle without the training first. Many are put in ministry before they're ready. And how many get rushed into ministry before God's had time to train them first? The place of training is in the difficulties and hardships of life. It's in the places of need and the places of struggle. That's where we experience God's grace. That's where we experience God's protection and God's provision. That's where we find that God is our shield, that God is our strength, that God is our fortress. He is our strong tower from the enemy. God is our provider, the one who leads us beside the still waters and restores our soul. It's only by making time for God in our lives, by spending time alone with God, is the most vital thing in a Christian life. And we only rob ourselves when we neglect to spend that time with our Heavenly Father and make that time our priority. Draw near to God, it says in Scripture, and He will draw near to you. If we want to be close to God, we have to draw near in prayer, in fellowship, in seeking the Lord daily. And often we have to serve God in the small things first before God can use us in any bigger things. God has to prepare us. And for most of us, it takes years. God's not in a rush this morning. His timing is always perfect, isn't it? There's a process of growing up, isn't there, in the Christian life, maturing. There's a process whereby we start as babes in Christ, then we become children, then young men, and finally fathers. But each stage is a process, isn't it, of getting to know God. We want the instant formula, don't we? But it can take years to grow. Scripture says, "Do not despise the day of small things." We can often get frustrated by our lack of progress, or by the lack of progress we see in others. But we need to trust God and let Him do the work in us. It's in His timing. Moses took 40 years before God could use him and before he started being used in ministry. Some grow quicker than others. But the pace of growth isn't the issue here. You know, an oak tree takes longer than a willow to grow. But you know what? The oak's far stronger. And the key thing is if we're growing, that we're moving forward and not backwards. It doesn't matter if progress is slow as long as we are actually progressing. We're often too impatient with God. We want it all and we want it now. But God doesn't work like that. He only gives us as much as we can handle and no more. And He only gives us more when we're ready for it. And it says, doesn't it, "He who is found faithful in little will be entrusted with much." You know, great men are built in small steps. You're not born a great man. You become a great man step by step. God is building us step by step, forming in us the nature and character of Christ to make us Christ-like. It's not an overnight process. It takes years upon years. You know, even the Apostle Paul at the end of his life said, "Not that I have already attained, not that I'm already perfected, but I press on for the prize." The Christian life is one long process of forming in us the divine nature, of purging out of us the old nature, of making us reflect the image of Christ, of sanctifying us and making us holy and blameless, of preparing us for heaven. It doesn't happen overnight, but through the difficulties and through the struggles of life, through the trials and tribulations, we learn to rely upon our God. We learn to trust in God, and as we see him moving our circumstances and answering our prayers and providing our needs and bestowing upon us his amazing grace, that's when we grow in that relationship with him. You know, if you feel frustrated with your own lack of progress as a believer, we shouldn't despair, because God knows what he's doing. He's training us and preparing us, and it might not always feel that way, but God is always busy at work in our lives, even when we don't know it or feel it, or it feels like God's forgotten about us. The Bible says he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always at work, but we just need to go where he commands and follow where he leads, and looking to him to provide and to feed us and to teach us and to guide us. And the most important thing is that we make that time daily in our life to seek him. And if we are too busy to pray, then we are too busy. You know, it's funny how we can find time for our hobbies, for our pleasures, for our TV and our entertainment, but yet we struggle to find time for God. But what's most important to us? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We value what is most important to us, don't we? And the question is this morning, is Jesus still our first love? We should want to spend time with him before all other things. He should be our first desire, not our last resort, as is sadly too often the case. Truth is, you know, we make time for what we value most. And how much do we value God in our lives? The great thing is that when we do finally get down to seek it, God, he lifts us up. He refreshes our spirit. He strengthens our heart. He renews our faith. Our desire for godliness increases. Our love for the truth and our hatred of sin grows. We find our mind renewed. Our perspective becomes God-centered rather than self-centered. The big danger for us when we've been serving God for many years is that our love begins to grow cold. We can get too caught up in the doing and in the busyness of life and in the here and now and in the circumstances of this life, and we can neglect the most important aspect of life, which is seeking God. And I always think of Martha and Mary as a great example here. Luke 10:38-42. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You see, serving is important, but you know what? Sitting at Jesus' feet is more important. And we can be full of care and troubles like Martha, but what we need to do is sit at Jesus' feet and receive from him. Isaiah 40:27-31 says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, 'My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God'? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If we feel that our way is hid from the Lord, then we need to wait upon the Lord. In the place that He sent us, there He will renew our strength. We'll mount up on wings as the eagle. It says we'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. But only if we're prepared to wait upon the Lord. You see, God prepares us before He uses us. He sends us to Cherith till we learn to rely on Him, to feed us and to give us drink. He sends us to the wilderness to learn our patience and reliance upon Him. We don't like being in the wilderness, but God often trains us when we're in the wilderness. He's at work in our lives. He'll complete the work that He's begun in us until the day of the Lord. But we have to obey and trust Him, and we have to wait upon Him, spend time with Him alone, and that's what will sustain us. We can't minister to others if we've not been ministered to by God. We need God each day to give us all our strength and all that we need. God is our resource, isn't He, this morning? He's our food and our drink, and He's the God who sustains us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that we would learn to be those people that rely upon You for the daily battles that we face, Lord God, and that we would draw from Your Spirit, God, draw from the well of life and the bread of life, Lord, we just pray to sustain us each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody stand.